mine, praise God. I know we're lighting the ground tonight. Some people, you know, have only a certain amount of time they give to church. I've watched them over the years. If it goes over the amount of time they're allotted in a week, they miss a few. Then they come back again. But you know, the Lord's coming again. And I'm telling you, we're going to have it ready. And I'll tell you, you'll not worry how long you've spent in church. You wish you'd spent more time. Amen. How many believes that tonight? Praise God. Praise God. You people pray about revival, talk about revival. But yet when there was revival, Jack Cole said that church started at 6, they were there at 2 o'clock. Queued up to get in. And he says at 12 o'clock they couldn't get stopped. They weren't worried about how many hours they spent in church. Amen. Praise God. I know you say, brother, we're not in revival. Well, you better get into it. Get into revival. You know that Spurgeon said, and other preachers saying, he said, though we're living in a Laodicean age, we need to live like we're in revival, even though we're in a Laodicean age. It's up to us as individuals how we look at it and how we're going to live for the Lord. Praise God. You feel like that tonight? Let's sing this, when his wounded hand touched mine. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. When his wounded hand touched mine. When his wounded hand.
Hallelujah. Jesus set me free for all eternity. When his wounded hand touched mine. When his wounded hand touched mine. When his wounded hand touched mine. Jesus set me free for all eternity. When his wounded hand touched mine. When his wounded hand touched mine.
Close your eyes and worship the Lord. His wounded
hand touched mine. Jesus set me free for all eternity.
Praise God. Heavenly Father, we just thank you and praise you tonight for the very moment when by faith we touched your wounded hand. Lord, we can say that Jesus set me free for all eternity when his wounded hand touched mine. Lord, we're glad for the Master's touch. We're glad that the touch has never changed. We're glad your power has never changed. Your message has never changed. Your presence has never changed. But you're the same yesterday, today and forever.
Hallelujah.
Heavenly Father, we've come tonight to praise you. We've come tonight to worship you. The psalmist says, enter his gates with thanksgiving, enter his courts with praise. I will say, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad. Lord, we're glad we're not in jail tonight. We're glad we're free. And him who the sun sets free, it's free indeed. No longer to be entangled again by the yoke of bondage. Father, I pray you'll encourage and strengthen and bless your people tonight. Lord, for those that had to be away tonight, bless them, strengthen them. Undertake for them, I pray, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Bless those that are working. Lord, for those that sail and afflicted tonight, Lord, we know the devil's a liar. We know that sickness is from the devil. It's not from heaven. It's from the devil. And we come against it in the name of Jesus. And we pray the power of God will move upon people tonight. That's in the hearts and minds of loved ones here this evening. Let the power of God go upon them. Lord, you said you sent your word and you healed them. And you delivered them from their destruction and from their trouble. You said, I am the Lord that forgiveth all thine iniquities and healeth all thy diseases. Lord, we believe your word tonight. Let every man be a liar, but thee, your word is the truth. Father, we pray that the Holy Spirit will move. Even though perhaps we're not many tonight, we still ask that you'll come, Lord. If you have said for 2 or 3 is gathered in your name, you are in the midst, and in the midst to bless us. We receive that blessing, and we thank you for it. Lord, I take the Holy Ghost in Jesus' name, and I thank you that you undertake for me in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. I'm feeling good tonight, so you will have to bear with me. Praise God. Amen. You know, every preacher near enough should take their coat off. It's like a good fight with the devil. Get the sleeves rolled up, as a brother Gary says, and get stuck into them. Amen. Praise God. Let us turn to 1 Peter, and I haven't brought any much notes tonight or anything like that. I just want to read some scriptures and just whatever the Lord gives me and share with you tonight. Maybe you can remain seated. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. Everyone knows this verse. We could quote it off by heart. But I really love this verse. I think this is a wonderful verse. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. Who his own self bare our sins on his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Praise God. Amen. We know the reason for sickness is the reason for sin. Man in the beginning disobeyed God. Man broke what God said for him to do. You know, in Genesis they were told of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not touch it, neither shalt thou partake of it. In the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. But we know the serpent beguiled Eve, and she partook. And then she gave to Adam. And he, with his eyes open, partook willingly. Then in Romans it says, sin came by Adam. Doesn't it say it? Sin came into the world by one man. But thank God, righteousness came by one man also. Amen. And where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. Amen. Because of man's disobedience, sin came. And because sin came, death came. I was thinking here tonight, I was sitting at the front and I was thinking, death had a beginning, death had an origin. That means it had a time when it began. Healing and health never did. They always were, because they were in God. They never had a beginning. They always were. They were always there. They were in God, because God is life, and the very essence of life in him was life. That's what the word of God says. No death, no sickness, no sin. You see, we need to know that sin came from the fall. Sin came because of disobedience. And sickness came because of the devil. And you know, many times it's a spirit of infirmity that brings sickness. And we have authority over a spirit of infirmity. We've been given power in the name of Jesus Christ over the spirit of infirmity. But many times we don't use our rights. It's like a brother said this morning about the hotel room. It was a good example. Why stay on the first or second floor if you can go to number 5 and have everything you want? Why would you do that? But people do it in Christian life. William Branham said it, Wigglesworth said it, Jacko said it, all the great preachers would say it. We're living away below our privileges. The check was signed at the cross. We're heirs of God. We're joint heirs with Jesus Christ. The price has been paid. By his stripes ye were healed. Jesus paid for your salvation 2,000 years ago. Jesus paid for your healing 2,000 years ago. Even if you're praying for someone that's not saved tonight, they can still be healed. Don't you accept from the devil that, well, they're sinners and God won't heal them. Then why did he heal you and save you? Were you better than them? You weren't. For my Bible says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But the Lord have laid upon him, Jesus Christ, the iniquity of us all. Now I know they're degenerate, they're not saved, but we can pray for them. And God can heal them. Even though they're not serving the Lord, they can be healed. I believe that with all my heart. God can do it. If you have faith, you can see it. Believe and ye shall see. That's what David said. Unless I had believed, Psalms 103, to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I would have fainted unless they had believed to see. He believed and he saw God's goodness. He believed it and he saw it. You know, when we study the Bible and God's plan to heal, and you study the book of Deuteronomy and you study the book of Exodus, the Word of God clearly says through them scriptures that none of these diseases will I put upon thee, Israel, will I have put upon the Egyptians. And we tonight are spiritual Israel, because we are the royal seed of Abraham, because we're born again of the Spirit of God. We are the royal seed of Abraham, so we're spiritual Israel, if you like. Church means call out, and God called the church out in the Old Testament. He called out Israel and he called them a church. The Bible says he did. Called out once means a church. That's what it means. And we're a church. People said we're no longer a church, we're bride. But to be bride, you had to be called out, so you're a church. Yes. And the book of Acts and the book of Corinthians talks about the mystical body of Jesus Christ, the church of God. Amen. And you're not joined into it, you're born into it by one spirit, and you're baptized into one body. Amen. The mystical body of Jesus Christ, you're part of the church of God. Not the denomination, but the church of God, universal. And that's his bride. His bride is the church. Amen. To say the bride's not the church, well, we know what, when Brother Branham talked about that, don't misunderstand it, he talks about church as cosmic order. We're not part of that. That means the World Council of Churches, that means that which is false. We're not part of it. But we are part of the true church. The mystical body of Jesus Christ. We have been called out from the world and called into Christ. Hallelujah. This came, Genesis 3 verse 16 to 19. You can read it in Genesis chapter 3. Let me tell you, you know these scriptures, but it's good to rehearse these. And I'm not going to be too long tonight. I'll be 25 minutes and I'm stopping. And then I'm starting. What do you think of that? George Quinn used to say, before I say what I'm going to say, let me say this. Do you remember that? Praise God. Before I say what I'm going to say, let me say this. I'm stopping, but I'm only starting. Amen. Never tell the devil you're stopping. To be continued. But look what it says in chapter 3, verse 16 to 19. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrows and thy conception, and sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. There you are, Brother Matthew. You can give your girlfriend verse 16 of Genesis chapter 3. Then she'll know that the husband is the head of the house, not the woman. And the one more scripture, you go to Timothy, go to 1 Corinthians. The Bible's full of it. But that doesn't mean you come home with a big stick. Peter, the husband loves the wife. Now why am I saying that? Because I want you to get there spiritually. You see, we don't tell God what he's going to do. We need to see what God wants us to do. Amen. We don't rule God. God has to
from one woman has just come to me. Should he listen to his wife? No. I can give you loads of scriptural examples. It's not always good to listen to the wife, you know. I know some people say, well, I had to do what the wife said. No, you're wrong. You don't always have to do what your wife says, because I can take you to Genesis and show you Abraham. Yes. And Abraham didn't do. He did some of the things his wife said, but not all of them. He did do when she said to go on ahead and take Hagar. He did it, didn't he? But that wasn't what God said. His wife. Though it was a good idea. Now, I'm not condemning Sarah, not for a moment, because she was all part of what God was doing. But what I'm telling you is, even though his wife had the idea, Abraham, you take Sarah and or Hagar, and you'll have children by that, and that will more or less bring to pass that you'll have seed. But God never said that. God said it'll be by Sarah. And even though Sarah herself could not conceive how it could be, the Bible says Abraham believed God. Now Abraham had a visitation from God, and he believed God. Now don't get me wrong, some of these women sometimes maybe have a better idea than the man. I'll admit that. But I'm talking about if this is someone really from the Lord, you have to stick with it. How many agrees with me? Didn't Abraham hear from God? God did not come down and tell it to Sarah. God came down and told it to Abraham. But because Abraham was in Sarah in a type, or Sarah was in Abraham in a type, then she was part of it. Amen? The unbeliever sanctified to the believer and so forth. Now what the word of God said. That's some scripture, you know. Even if they don't believe, they're sanctified in the one that believes. You can't break the Bible. It says it. It's there. And you see, Sarah laughed at God, but God still did it. And the Bible said that Abraham believed God. But you see, Eve here fell to the seductions of the serpent, and then she said to Adam, go ahead and partake, and he did it. He listened to his wife. Now I know it was all God's plan, but you see, it never had to be that way, but it was. And then we were born sinners. And because of the fall, because there was something hybrid that happened, you know that Cain was hybrid. Cain was not the son of Adam, for the Bible says in the Epistle of John, he was off that wicked one, his father was the devil. And we know that now the devil did not sleep with Eve, it was the serpent, but the serpent was possessed with the devil. So the serpent, the devil did it vicariously. That's how the prophet said it, to get his plan brought forth. He knew what he was doing. And he still tries it today. But Abraham believed God. And in spite of all the impossibilities, and in spite of the fall, and in spite of all them things, because Abraham believed God, God done it. And God comes to Abraham, and God says to Abraham, Abraham, walk thou before me and be thou perfect. What do you think of that? Then Brother Brown says in the 20th century, he says that if God asks for perfection, God has to make a way for it. For man by himself can't do it, but God asks for it, then God makes a way for it, for man to do that. And we have a way made for it today. That's through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We can walk actually in perfection. Paul said, I'm dead to myself, but a prisoner to Christ, perfect through his righteousness. Amen? Praise God. Somebody open a window in here. Please, God bless you, Mother. It's hot. Who feels hot? Amen? I'm taking Brother Brian's tip. He says, always keep a window open in the meeting hall. Spurgeon, I think he read, but it's true. Let some air flow through. Praise God. Abraham believed God. Now look with me over the Epistle of John. And I don't want to... You see, this is what happens. You see, you think maybe the pastor never brought us
you know, it's Pat sang the night, and Emma, but don't you worry about that, because you can, it makes no difference. You can still preach for hours. There's so much. When you take it all in, it's there somewhere. And the Lord can bring it out. Is that right? Praise God. The first John, the first epistle of John, chapter 3 and verse 8 says this. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. So the devil sinneth from the beginning. We know Adam fell, sin came by Adam. But before that, the Bible says that Satan was cast out of heaven because he disobeyed God. He rebelled against God, and God cast him out of heaven. And Brother Branham said it actually all started in the heavens. And God cast him down. And when he was cast down, then he came into the garden via the serpent. And you know that Ezekiel says, I have been in the garden. I've been amongst the cherubuncles. I've been in the garden of God. That's what he says himself. He admits he was there. And we know it caused all this sin and all this disease and all this sickness that's on man and on women today. And let me get this to you tonight. And don't misunderstand that. When people talk about Adam as a small god or an amateur god, you have to understand what they mean. They're not saying Adam's God because he's not God. But what they're saying is that Adam had authority before he fell. Adam had power before he fell. Adam had power over creation. Adam was the one that called the dog, the cat, and the cow, the cow. Is that authority or not? He could tell the tree, move over here, move over there. He had Jesus Christ came, what was in him, that's what was a type in Adam before the fall. He had that type of power. I believe that all my heart. Do you believe that tonight? Maybe you believe God just put him there and he's some sort of a stupid sort of a dumb sort of a fella. Well, I don't accept that, and I don't believe that for 1 minute. I tell you, Adam had no sin. And there was a glory upon Adam. A veil of glory, I'm calling it, was on him. He never looked at Eve in a sexual manner or in a sexual way, because before the fall there was none of that in his conception. There was none of that in his thinking. Brother Branham says he could speak the word and say, I had Stephen as a son, and Stephen would have came forth. That's the power he had. Then when we come up to the Lord Jesus Christ at Calvary, that's why the Bible takes Christ as the second Adam, the Lord from heaven. So when me and you come into the position where we're living right by God and filled with the Holy Ghost, God can permit that you can speak a word, and heaven will stand behind it and back it up like it did with Adam at the start. But it has to be God that inspires it. Now we saw that. In our generation, we saw it. Why did we see it? Had the Lord not done it, he had done it. But people forget. I really appreciate the way T.L. Osborne said it. He said, had Jesus not done these miracles, had the Lord Jesus not done these wonderful works, he says he did do it, but men forgot. And God did it again. He did it again. Then a prophet comes on the scene and he said, if you sit still and you live right and walk right before God, God can permit you to speak. God can permit you to speak. And all heaven will back it. I believe that tonight. That is the real spoken word. Amen. That's what it is. Amen. The very thing we're not waiting tonight as in a certain date or a certain time when God will bring in this type of a restoration. It's been done at Calvary 2,000 years ago. We read it in our opening scripture tonight. Now we can't do it of our own esteem. It is true
don't work.
We know that.
If you ask a man of God that experienced them things, he'll tell you that. It must be from God. But when that comes upon a person, you will know it. The man that God's using will know it. There's no doubting about it. There'll be no such thing as where will the faith come for it. It's with it. Because it's God's faith.
Amen.
It's the same faith that Jesus said when Jesus cursed the fig tree. Jesus says, have the faith of God. Have the faith of God. That's what your Bible says. It doesn't say in the original, have faith in God. It says in the original, have the faith of God.
That's what it says.
God's faith said, let there be light. Amen? God's faith. Adam had that before he fell. Adam had it with no effort. Are you understanding me? Adam actually had that authority with no effort. No working it up or anything. It was with him. And we were restored back. Now we can't go out and try and perform it. It has to be Spirit of God coming to do it. But when the Spirit of God comes, the Spirit of God will do it. Hallelujah.
Yes,
I tell you, when I was preaching in Norway, I told them of a man in Wales that I knew God was healing his shoulder, specifically in Wales. I knew it. I said it. God did it. I said it again in Norway. And a woman told me, going out the door, she said it was me. I was instantly healed the moment you spoke it. Completely healed. She never was prayed for. God healed her. I tell you, God can do it. God is able to do it. I believe also God can still tell you your name and address. I know some people think that that's specific, that that can't be done again. I don't agree with that. I believe God can still do that. I believe that God can so inspire a man with the word of knowledge that he can tell you the number on the door of your house and your name and where you're going and where you came from. We saw it in the ministry of William Branham, and I believe God can still do it because he's never changed. You might not, you won't have that ministry of Elijah. You're not called to that. But them gifts, and God can still do things because he's never changed. You see, God is real. I want to encourage you tonight. And I want to say to you, who brings sickness and who brings health? The devil brings sickness. But the Lord brings health and strength. You can thank the devil when you're not well, but God permitted it. You could say, but the devil did it. You could read in the book of Job, chapter 2, verse 7, and you know that Satan brought upon Job the affliction, not God. God didn't bring it, Satan did. And everybody keeps going on, God permitted it, God permitted it, but what about when God said, that's enough? And he no more permitted it. What about that part? What about the part when God said to the devil, stay your hand now. That's enough. And God come down veiled in a whirlwind, and he stands before Job and he says to Job, stand upon your feet and command thou me and I will answer thee. There's God giving Job spoken word. There's God giving Job the authority. Whatever Job will say will come to pass. And even those that spoke against Job, God said to Job, except you pray for them, they're dead men. You read the book of Job, you know I'm telling you the truth. And you know God didn't bless Job back to where he was before. No, do you read that? God gave him more than he ever had before. How many knows that? God went over the top. Because the Bible says he'll bless you. Press down and running over the top, God will bless you.
Amen.
If you need 1,000, God will give you 2 just to make sure you've got enough. You say, well, God worked like that. His Bible says he does. And God came and God visited Job and God spoke to Job and Job answered to God, and God, the end of Job was greater than his beginning. That's what my Bible says. I tell you, that's how our God works. You know, when you go to Luke 13, verse 11 to 16, I won't take time to read it, but you know
in Luke 13, verse 11 to 16, you know that it talks about the spirit of infirmity was upon this woman, and the devil put it upon her. This was a spirit of infirmity that the devil put upon this woman, but Jesus took it off of her.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. For this reason, I want you to get this. For this reason was the Son of God manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. For this reason, Jesus was manifested to destroy the works of the devil. I tell you, it's real tonight as it was back then. Let's read this. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years, and was bound together and could not nowise lift up herself. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, "Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmities." And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because of Jesus' healing on the Sabbath day, and said unto the people, "There are 6 days." They didn't break out and worship God and praise God. Don't think when God moves you'll have a revival. You might get jailed. Do you ever think of that? When God moved in the book of Acts, the rulers and the people never said, "Glory to God, this is the move of God, let's all get into it." They didn't say that. They said, "Lock these fellas up. Stop them preaching in the name of Jesus. We won't have that here." All hell's against them. But they cannot prevail. And I tell you, look what they did with the Lord Jesus himself. And I tell you, the Bible says, if this be done in a green tree, what should be done in a dry tree? And if they call the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more will they call the servants? I tell you, when God starts to use a people, the devil's against it. He'll do all he can. You know why? That's why he tries his best to get things going in churches behind the scenes, and people talking and twisting and backbiting. That's the devil. He does not want no unity. He does not want people coming in screaming and praying, because he can read the word you've read. When my people humble themselves and fast and pray, they will hear from heaven. Where there's unity, there the Lord commands the blessing. The devil doesn't want that. That's why we have so many quitters and splitters today. Amen. So many people have one idea, somebody's another idea, and all along the gospel's not being preached. That's the devil. I tell you, when you study it, the thing he wants stopped is end time evangelism. End time evangelism is to get the bride ready for the rapture. And not only that, there, you people say, they take that statement and they go into doctrines, but they miss it. You cannot get the bride ready for the rapture if you're not winning souls. Because we can't go till the last one comes in. Amen. And when the last one comes in, we're going to go. And we need to be about the Father's business. Every one of us is Christians. Your brother said it this morning, the pastor's vision is one thing, but you need a vision. You need a vision on a Sunday to bring somebody to church for you. You need a vision through the week that you pick out a person and you pray for them, and you take an attitude that I'm going to pray, Joe or Jack, whoever it is, or a woman or whoever, I'm going to pray them into the kingdom of God. You need to target them the way the devil targets people. We need to target people in prayer and pray them continually before the throne of grace, for they may find mercy in the time of need. We need to do it. We need intercessors today more than ever. Men and women that will pray and seek the face of God. Prayer changes things. I can tell you, I know when I haven't been well with somebody in the home, and I maybe mentioned to my mom or dad in just in a few hours, there's a change. Amen. I tell you, if you're on the mission field and people pray for you, there's a change. There's a change comes. Because the prayer is a thing that God hears. And as a brother said, there's somebody waiting there. It's like God's phone number, 5015, call upon me in the time of trouble and I shall deliver. someone there to say, what can I do for you? Isn't it wonderful? The high priest who's touched for the feeling of our infirmities, tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. I tell you, don't look to yourself, but look to the Savior, the Lord of all glory. He's the overcomer. He's the greatest one that ever lived. He's the greatest redeemer. The greatest saint there ever was is the Lord Jesus Christ. Greater than all Bible men is the Lord Jesus Christ, King, prophet, and priest. You wouldn't believe it. My time's near gone already, and I'm enjoying it. You say, brother, you're preaching to yourself. Why not? My Bible says David encouraged himself in the Lord. Preacher said to me one time, you enjoyed your own sermon, there's something wrong with you. You see, a preacher doesn't, there's something wrong with him. Because if you're expecting someone to do the people good that doesn't do you any good, something's wrong. Amen. You ever get healed when you're preaching yourself? Wesley got saved when he was preaching. That's how good his sermon was. Now I'm not saying I have a good sermon or anything like that. I'm not saying that, but I'm saying I'm enjoying the presence of the Lord. I tell you, the Lord loves you tonight. Satan brought this spirit of infirmity. The devil oppressed his people with a sickness. But I want you to go to Acts 10:38. That's the last scripture I'm reading. I have other scriptures, but I told you I wouldn't be long, and I won't be long tonight. Acts 10:38. This is what our brother John said this morning. This is what you need. How many believe Jesus is the example? Yes. Amen? Acts 10, verse 38. How that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Hallelujah. Jesus said in the book of Luke, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because he has anointed me. I want you to think of that this evening. Jesus said that the Lord had anointed him. And we know the anointing breaks the yokes. And Jesus went about breaking the yokes of oppression, the yokes of infirmity, the yokes of the devil. Jesus went about breaking them. Amen. Well, the woman from the other week, you mind, Brother Andrew told him about that vision Brother Branham had, and it never worked till everything was in place. But when it was all in place, God done it. Now, we can't work it up, and we don't have to work it up. That's the thing about it. You don't have to. God will do it. God will do it. God can do a miracle. God can do a healing. It's all God. No healing deliverance ministry years ago used to start out every single time they came to the platform. Here's what they used to say. I believe in miracles because I believe in God. That's it. That's very simple, but yet it's true. I believe in miracles because I believe in God. Amen? That's warm in here tonight. Don't let that disturb you. It is hot in here, is it just me? It's hot. Freezing in the winter, roasting in the summer. But you see, the devil can use things in a meeting to take your mind off the Word of God. That's the truth now. But you need to consider that as nothing. And cast that all down, whether it's hot or cold. Like your brother Mark once said, they met out the road here, a bunch of, well, I won't say it, but they met out anyhow, under a tree somewhere with a frost in the ground. And I tell you, we are meeting tonight in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe the Lord's in the midst. See, I believe the time has come when you try this like a drink. God doesn't want you to come and try it like trying a drink. See if I like the drink or not. You know, you go to the shop and see what drink you like and try it. That won't work. You need to come in faith, believe in God. You need to come believing that God is seek the Lord.
I've really found one thing out, especially with preaching and pastoring. Many times you have trials, but when you look back on it, it's tough sometimes. When you look back on it, you thank the Lord for it. Because it makes you pray. I don't care how painful it is, if it makes you pray through. That's the way I look at it. Sometimes maybe we wouldn't pray the way we ought to pray. But God knows how to stir our nest. Amen? As the eagle stirs the nest. And I tell you, God stirs the nest so that we pray. The first time I went to one of them parts in Africa, it wasn't Zimbabwe or Malawi. I can't remember the place now, but I went to it. The first time it was difficult. I can tell you it was difficult. It was hard going. But you know, in one of the services, I asked for young men that felt the call of God upon them, and there was several young men come forward, about 16 years of age. This one young fellow was, or 17 then. And I prayed for him, and I know God touched him. He sent me some clips a while back. He's married, he's got children now, and he pastors a church in Ethiopia. I tell you what, I thank God. I thank God. If I hadn't made the trip, that's the time I hurt my leg. I wasn't going to go. I hurt the leg that time. And a Roman Catholic man just walked up to me from nowhere. And he said, I heard you saying that you weren't going to go on your missionary trip to Africa. And he said, remember the Lord got somebody to carry his cross. And I was put back. And I decided I'm going to go anyhow. And you know, when I come home from that trip, Sharon rushed me straight to Craigavon Hospital after I come back. My leg was totally black from the top to the bottom. It scarred me when I looked at it. It was all black. My doctor said, he said, your days of lifting weights and exercising's all over. And I said, is that right, doctor? But I knew it was on the Lord's work. And I remember, you remember in this service, I got the elders to pray for my leg. And the muscles were partly torn apart in it. I don't know what all was done with it. And I shouldn't have done it, but I did do it. I wouldn't tell anybody to do this, but I done it. I was straight down to the gym. Next night. And I put £500 on the bar, squatted. And set it back in the hooks, and I said, there you are, devil. Jesus is a healer. And I couldn't even walk in Africa. Now, I'm not saying you're to do that, but you remember the testimony, I think your brother John told it about the fellow that broke his leg, and he was at a funeral. And when he stopped it on the ground, one of these brothers told him, Jesus, John, or that. And he kept hitting it to the ground, and it was sore. But eventually it was healed. Hallelujah. I tell you, God's real. Somebody says, what am I going to do about it? What are you going to do? I'll tell you what you can do. You can lift up your privileges. You can come to the throne of grace. Where you can find help in the time of need. Let us come and pray tonight. I know there's not many here tonight. But I still feel we'll give opportunity for people that want prayer. I want to tell you tonight, see if you're sitting in this service, young fella, and you feel the call of God in your life. I want you to come and get prayed for. I remember getting prayed for men of God when I felt the call of God. And I believe that God, like the book of Acts, they laid hands upon them and they received the Holy Ghost. You know who dedicated me when I was a baby? David Greenall, an evangelist, Pentecostal evangelist. You see, it never worked for me with some of these denominations from the start, because I was prayed for with a Pentecostal right from the start.
And once you've been a Pentecostal, you never can change. You can try it, but it doesn't work. You just know there's something about that experience, the presence of the Lord. There's no substitute for it. Heavenly Father, I thank and praise you, Lord, that you're still a Savior and you're still a healer. I thank you, Lord, that health and strength cometh from the Lord, who made the heavens and the earth. Lord, your word says, my help cometh from the Lord, who made the heavens and the earth. Father, I pray this evening that you'll give strength to the able and strength to the bones in the name of Jesus Christ in this meeting tonight. Lord, I know my help cometh from the Lord. And I know that every good and perfect gift cometh from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shall he return it. But you are truly the same yesterday, today and forever. You said, I am the Lord thy God. I change not. I thank you, Lord, this evening that you never changed, that you remain the same. Lord, I pray you'll sanctify us this evening, every one of us. As we come at this point in the service, Lord, we don't know what's going to happen or what will take place, but we're asking that you'll do something. We're asking that you'll confirm your word. We're asking that you'll move by your mighty power and by your mighty spirit in the lovely name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we know your power is the same. We know the anointing truly breaks the yokes. Where everything else will fail, you can never fail. Lord, this poor woman spent a lot of money. 18 years with the doctors. 18 years with the medication. 18 years bound. When she met you, just once, it all changed. Lord, we know that one visitation from you, that there's no other visitation can compare to it. We ask that you'll visit us this evening hour by thy mighty power. Oh God, visit thy people tonight. Answer prayer this evening. Stretch thy mighty arm forth in salvation and deliverance and in miracles and signs and wonders. In the name of thy holy child Jesus, I pray. Lord, I know that you're still the God of Paul. You're still the God of Wigglesworth, Jack Coe, and William Branham. You're still the God of the Bible. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. Lord, the Bible says, if God be with us, then where's all the miracles? Lord, we know you're here tonight. We know you've never changed. Lord, like John Wesley said, if men will take faith in God, even the dead can be raised. Father, this evening there's people in our hearts that need thy touch. Lord, for that young person that said, I'll never come to church again, I take authority over that lying demonic spirit in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. I speak to those feet and I command them that they'll walk the right path in the name of Jesus Christ. I come against that lie of the devil that says, quick, I come against that lying devil demon power. In the name of Jesus Christ, I rebuke it. Lord, we know there's life for the look at the crucified one. There's life at this moment for thee. Lord, we know you're the way and the life. We know you're the very essence of life. In you is life and light of the world. Father, move upon our children, I pray. Make preachers and evangelists and great men of God out of these young ones. Some little boy or girl, touch them, I pray, by thy mighty power, in Jesus' precious name this evening. Father, I pray if people come forward tonight, that you'll do something for them, Lord, in this meeting, that they'll never be the same again. Lord, all of us can testify to the time you met us, how you changed us and delivered us and set us free. How the mighty presence of God could come into the jail cell in modern times and in a modern day and deliver men and women. Truly, Lord, you are the same
Truly your mercy endureth forever. Truly, Lord, you said, I am the Lord thy God, I change not, for there's none like unto thee. Father, this evening, touch thy people once again. Lord, we know that cancer is a demon power. Lord, we know that it doesn't belong in your children. I come against that lying devil of cancer tonight. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I curse that disease. I curse that foul demon power in Jesus Christ's name. And I ask that it go from every single person that's on our hearts and near and dear to us tonight. We rebuke it in Jesus Christ's name. Lord, let your word be sent and may there be healed. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Lord, we know when we say blind eyes open, they can't open. Because you're the same. Lord, I pray you'll touch eyes tonight in this room. Touch mine. Lord, in Jesus' name. Touch ears tonight in this room. In the name of Jesus. Touch legs and heads and backs and shoulders and arms and pins. Remove them. In the name of Jesus Christ tonight. Lord, grant it, I pray, in Jesus Christ's name. Lord, we know you're the same. We know you're never changed. You said it, we believe it. Lord, we're saying it. We're believing it. And we're going to see it. Lord, your word says, say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. We believe you tonight. Father, come in thy power upon men and women in this room. Let them sense the mighty anointing of the Holy Ghost. They'll break every yoke of bondage in Jesus Christ's name. Father, grant it, I pray. Lord, for young men and young women in this room that's made a decision for you, young. Lord, I pray you'll keep your mighty hand upon them. Keep them, Lord, as the apple of your eye. Protect them in this evil age from the wiles of the enemy. Heads of a bite with thy blood. Let the angels of the Lord watch over them and camp near them. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Lord, we know we're not here tonight by ourselves. But we know your word says we're encamped about with a great cloud of witnesses. That's not far from us tonight. We know that the angel of the Lord is near them. Father, we know the Holy Spirit's here. And you're here to bless. Father, grant it tonight. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. I want us to keep an attitude of prayer. Maybe the musicians could come. Praise God. And I'm not saying everybody to come, but maybe somebody wants to come tonight. Let's just stand our feet, and I want to give opportunity. I'm going to ask the elders to come. If you need prayer, I don't care what it's for, you come tonight. You come and get prayed for. The devil doesn't want you to come. He wants you to keep doubting, and he wants to keep you in fear. But the Lord has not given you the spirit of fear, but of love and truth, not of sound mind. God can bless you. God can touch you. God can do it tonight. I know that God's real. And I know the Lord's here. God bless you. Those that want to come, you come tonight if you want prayer. Praise God. Let's just our brother sing something softly. Praise God as the people come. Praise God.